What he didn't know is that he rose to the rank to be over the post in Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania. Those things I did not know. I knew he was involved, but not that involved. The only thing that went through my mind was they were honoring the memory of my dad, and that was the important thing. Honoring my dad, it wasn't required. It wasn't necessary. It certainly wasn't needed. He never talked about his service in World War II. He never even talked that he had won a Bronze Star. It was something that men back then just didn't talk about. But he had requested a military funeral as a proud ex-soldier. Today, honoring doesn't seem to be that way anymore. It's hard to see people honoring one another. Yes, it does happen, but sometimes you see it in this culture as a tongue-in-cheek roasting. Have you seen the roast? It was like, that's very popular. They roast somebody. Instead of putting them and telling them about the good things in their lives, they talk about vile and sexual things about the individual with vulgarities and just sexual overtones. And I'm saying, how does that ever honor anybody for any reason? Nonetheless, all of us have unsung heroes in our lives. People that have helped mold our lives into who we are today. Do any of you have unsung heroes in your past life? Yeah, I would say most of us do. And most are personal heroes who will, in most cases, never experience a thank you or a place of honor in history. You ever wonder that one teacher has done so many things for so many people, and they will never have an honor guard, and they will never have a 21-gun salute, even though they are just as deserving. Yet we do know the example of honoring. We do know what Jesus did to honor one another. We did know that Jesus was one who strongly believed, matter of fact, in honoring one another. And he did this by taking a basin and taking some water and proceeding to wash the disciples' feet. You can only imagine what the disciples were thinking. They were probably somewhat astonished and humbled by the whole act. And Jesus not only told the disciples to honor one another, by that act, he said, put this into practice. Put this into practice. As I have honored you, honor one another. That's big for a church body. That's important as a basic building block of a healthy church. That's why in part three of that series, I'm going to do a sermon called Honoring One Another, or, and you like this, Doing a Major Feat. Not F-E-A-T, F-E-E-T. Our scripture reading comes from Romans 12, 9 through 10, a verse we quoted last week. You can go to your pew Bibles. I think it's 803 in your pew Bible. And then we'll read from John 13, 12 through 15, which is on page 763 in your pew Bible. So I want to return that, to turn to those verses, and we'll read. Let's start with Romans. But before we start, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say something very simple. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus loves you. Why don't you do that? This I know, for the Bible has me said. So let's read about how much he does love us. Let's start with Romans 12, 9 through 10. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. And let's go to John chapter 13, verses 12 through 15. John 13, 12 through 15. You still hear papers rattling, so I'll wait. Chapter 13, verses 12 through 15. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, that we can be part of your church. I lift us up to you and ask, Lord, that you will speak to us in a mighty way. Washing people's feet is never easy. It's never comfortable. But it's never done enough. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, Lord, how we are to honor one another as fellow believers. And Lord, help us to use your example. Lord, in the quietness of the sanctuary, we invite you to be part of us, and not only invite you to be part of us, but invite you to speak to us. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, so that we can learn more about you as our Lord and our teacher. Help us be humble before you, Lord, so that we can take everything in as if we're just breathing you right into our lungs, so that we may breathe you out. So that, Lord, just ask that you speak through me in a mighty way and powerful way, so that we can know how we live as Christians. And we pray this, at least I pray this, in the name of Jesus Christ, my very personal Savior, and all God's people said, amen. Honoring one another is tough. There are so many barriers that we have to honor one another. You know, Scripture does tell us, as we just read in Romans 12, 9 through 10, that number one, love must be sincere. So we honor with sincerity. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. But I think more importantly, honor one another above yourselves. It is tough. Let me tell you a little story. A Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5- and 6-year-olds. After explaining the commandments to honor your father and mother, she asked, "Is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters?" Without missing a beat, one of the kids answered, "Thou shalt not kill." I'm using Gene Guess's book about building up one another. And so he lists some practical steps for applying the honoring one another principle. So let's walk through these principles. Number one, take a careful look at your honoring others quotient. We have to be honest and sincere with ourselves and attempt to honor somebody above ourselves. It is an effort. It is an effort, but it's very, very necessary in the body of Christ. I'm not asking that we keep a huge scoreboard. That's not how we do. It says here, love is sincere. So we can't, you know, make it happen. But we all have those individuals that have really impacted our lives. So God wants us to honor those that are important to us, but not in a way as to want anything in return or puffed up. You've seen those people, you know, the backslappers. How many here have seen backslappers, huh? They always want something in return. Well, that's not what God wants for us as it relates to honoring one another. But He wants us to build each other up, recognizing the important contributions that these people have made, not just to us, but to our community, to our society, and certainly to the church itself. As a pastor, I apologize to any of you that I've not done that enough to. As Patty says, everybody in this church is important. This church isn't growing because of the pastor. This church is growing because of one another. I apologize if I don't bring that up to you of all your services that you've done here to the church to make it the one or the friendliest churches in Calumet. And I know there are some here that don't want praise, but I do at least want to recognize this church as being an operating, functioning church with all the body parts moving in the same direction. And so I honor all of you, and I think that you should honor one another. I think it's very important in this church. Number two, don't forget to honor those who have helped you become what you are. Dean Getz points out that most of us have a handful of people who have dramatically impacted our lives and helped us become what we are today. It could be a mom or a dad. It could be a friend. It could be a pastor. It could be a neighbor. It could be a coworker. It could be a boss or a brother or sister in Christ. Those that are important to us. I am forever thankful to God for my wife and to a few pastors that I've sat under, and to a few friends and teachers. And the facts are that all of us have grown up with the help of others. That's a fact. I remember a few bosses, you would look at them now, you would say that they were tyrants, but they impacted my life. There's Jack Dickinson that said I leaned on people too much and that I really had to dig things out on my own. That if I wanted to learn, I had to learn on my own and not tie up the hours of my coworkers. That changed me. It changed me as it related to me studying and finding things out on my own and not always leaning on somebody else. The Pharaoh Devericks, who was not, he was one of those bosses that was not pleasant every day, but he was a boss that believed in me. And you would say, well, how did he have that impact? Well, every promotion he got, he took me along. And he gave me that confidence that I needed as a worker because he believed in me. Then there was Jerry Calvin, my last boss in business. Jerry Calvin says, first day in, Merle, I want you to make mistakes. Now, I lived my whole work life saying a mistake is really bad. A mistake, if you make one, you're really in big trouble. But here's Jerry Calvin wanting to be on the cutting edge as a benefit consultant. He said, if you don't make mistakes, that means that you're not trying anything new. And if you're not trying anything new, how can we ever be competitive with others? That changed my life. That's why here at Grace Christian Fellowship, we're not afraid to try anything new, are we? Are we? We're not. Because if we don't try anything new, how in the world are we able to minister to today's culture, which is much different than the culture I grew up in? Does that make sense? And then there was Chuck Fox. He was the regional director of Christian Men's Committee, which I was a part of. You know, I lost my job in 76, I mean 96, with a large utility that I was with for 29 years. And you know, when you get downsized and you get pushed out of a company, everybody's embarrassed to call you, especially your coworkers. But there was Chuck Fox, regional director, that knew the pain of losing a job since he had lost jobs in his career. Chuck Fox was the one that called me up, that encouraged me, that said God had a plan for me. All of these are people that were not perfect, but that I can honestly say I need to honor them for how they've impacted who I am today. And that's not to say that there aren't others in all of our lives that have impacted us in the same way. Where are those people now? I don't know. I've talked to Chuck Fox, and I've talked to Jerry Calvin, and I hope to talk to the other two to tell them and honor them that they dramatically impacted my life. Number three, it is difficult for you to compliment others and to enjoy their success. If it is difficult for you to compliment others and to enjoy their successes, take a close look at yourself. Ouch. If we are to rejoice when a member of the body rejoices, why do we hold back from complimenting one another? Why do we hold back from being involved in others' lives? Why do we not just jump up with glee with Dawn and how God has given her a job, a new job, a God-given job? But that's what we're to do. We're to rejoice when others rejoice, and we're to really step out. But it's difficult for some. And if we fall in this category that it's difficult for us to compliment somebody, we really need to take a good look at ourselves. We really do. Scripture tells us this in Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. This is something we can live by or should live by. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, what? In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Don't place value. Don't place lesser value on somebody who is going through a struggle. Be able to value those people around you. Like I said, I have some bosses that were tyrants, but I valued them for how they changed my life and molded me. We need to do that and put a value on people, a high value. Everybody's a 10. This story is told of two goats that met each other on a narrow ledge, just wide enough for one goat to pass. The two goats faced each other and wondered, "What shall we do?" They could not back up. That would be too dangerous. They could not go around because the ledge was too narrow. Now, if the goats had no more sense than humans, they would have began butting each other until one fell off the ledge. That's what humans would do. However, goats have a lot of sense, more than some people. What they did is one goat laid down and let the other walk over him. There must be a willingness to lay down for the other to walk over. Humans would have been arguing who was to lie down. Is that an interesting story? You lie down so that the other one can walk over you to navigate that passage. Here are two areas we have to really work on if it is hard for us to compliment one another. Here's two areas we need to work on. Number one is some people can't compliment others because they are used to being the center of attention. You ever see those people? Yeah, they'll edge you out, won't they? They'll step up before you and step out in front of you. It also, Gene Getz believes, represents a serious and emotional problem and reflects immaturity. We'll have those people. We're not here to compete with one another. Can you say that? We're not here to compete with one another. we're here as a body of believers to build ourselves, one another up, so that we can be the church in that clip going out to the community and doing the same thing. Number two, some have difficulty because they are insecure. And so this is a counterpart to those wanting to be the center of attention. And that is, there are those that have difficulty honoring others because they feel in need of honor for themselves. Isn't that something? They feel that they need honor themselves. That's why it makes sense to honor one another, because they get it and we get it back. That's the importance of doing that, because there are some that have been called losers, some that have been put down, and all their lives they have had this desire for attention and recognition, and they haven't got it. Well, I'm hoping this church satisfies both needs. This church gives an individual their desire, as well as that individual having the ability to honor somebody back. These are two areas that it's important that we pay attention to and search our hearts and understand that it's so hard for some to honor others above ourselves. We need to understand that. Getz says this, though. We need to remember that you can never lose by sincerely honoring others. God will not forget, and neither will those you honor. So what's the downside of honoring somebody? Is there any downside? Not really. Thanks, Heather. There is no downside. I don't know why pride gets in our way of doing that. So anyway, let's go to the cartoon. Another groaner, I think. Step right up, folks, and put your humility to the test. That means sometimes you got to wash some big feet. So anyway. So how do we apply these principles? What's our next steps? Well, at Grace Christian Fellowship, we try to practice what we preach. Alan Lucas says this: ministry is not always proclamation, but it's mostly demonstration. Mostly demonstration. And I'd like to honor all of you. We don't have time, but I do want to call Scott Mall up here. Scott? And know that as I wash Scott's feet, I'm also washing yours. So, Scott?